Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
How many of you here this morning can say that you could probably use a good slap upside the head? How's that for an opening question to start off a sermon on a Sunday morning? Right? But seriously, do you ever feel like sometimes you're in a little bit of a wrestling match with God? It was even interesting this morning as I was reading my devotional for the morning and being directed back to that passage where Jacob was in a wrestling match with God. Sometimes we make a decision, and after the fact, we may stop and say, why? God, why? I believe that you were asking me to do this, and now I've made the decision, and this is where I'm at. And so you might be thinking, why? You believe it, but why? Even this past week, as I was spending time with God and just continuing to ask, like for the last number of weeks, I've been saying, okay, God, what is it that you wanted me to share on this particular Sunday? And I felt like I was in a bit of a wrestling match, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but have you ever watched those matches where the individuals just simply kind of, they feel like they're going around the ring, right? They're just constantly going around. There's a little bit of taunting that might be going on, but they never actually have the full embrace. They just keep going around and around and around in the ring, but they never actually touch each other. The key thing to remember is that when you're wrestling with God, it's always important to remember, no matter what, you are the one that's going to get pinned, right? It doesn't matter. You're the one that's going to get pinned. And sometimes I think that the reason we actually don't necessarily get pinned by God is because we may actually not even make contact with Him. We might avoid Him at every expense. Because how often do we avoid doing what God is actually asking us to do? We're in the wrestling ring. We're going around. We know what He said. We can hear His voice. But we're not quite ready to embrace because we know that the moment that we do, we're the ones who are going to get pinned. For the last little while, as I've been writing in my journal, the one thing that God keeps bringing me back to, and I find that I just write this over and over, is, Chad, I simply want you to be. Just be. Now, what exactly does that mean? He's saying, I want you to be present. I want you to be real. I want you to be honest. I want you to be transparent. So let's face it, doing any of those things can be quite scary, can't it? The vulnerable part, the transparent part, is a very scary place for a lot of people. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm actually giving you, now, you know, have you ever had that statement where you're talking with somebody's like, man, I'd really like to get inside their head and know what's going on. Well, this morning I'm giving you an opportunity to kind of get inside of my head and hear a conversation that took place between me and God. And it's going to be a little bit scary, and it's going to be like, okay. But at the same time, as you're listening to this, I want you to think, what is it that God is saying to you? So as this conversation starts off, and it started with a question which we'll get to, but immediately as the question comes out of my mouth, God directs me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And He says this in His Word. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So this is the starting place for this conversation. So God is assuring me, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So the thing that I quickly realize is that by simply hearing that statement, God immediately has me pinned to the floor. I came close enough to embrace, to hear His voice, and He pinned me to the floor. And in that moment, my defense wall began to come down because a lot of times with anything that we're asked to do by God, we encounter it with a lot of fear, right? We're afraid. We're nervous. And as I'm pinned there, my mind is directed to Psalm 56:4. And it says this, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" How often when we have something that God is speaking to us about, are we actually more afraid of what man might say and not what God is asking us to do? Because as I shared with you last weekend, the moment that you start to share your dream with people, what do you get? You get their opinions. You get their thoughts. You get their questions. And their questions can actually start to plant fears in our own minds. Like, well, I hadn't really thought of that. Or, I don't know how to answer your question. But the thing is that we know what God has asked us to do, and we continue to go in that direction. So it's not necessarily God that we're afraid of. So often we're actually afraid of man. So as you're listening to this, you might think, well, that's a very basic thought. And that's why I believe that I've been led to preach this message this morning of following Jesus 101. Because the Christian life, what God is asking us to do, is really quite basic. We're the ones who make it so much more complex than what it actually is. So, God is more powerful than any of us. Do you believe that this morning? Okay, so that's a very good starting place. So, very shortly after I write this down, I have the realization of what God is saying to me, and I'm here pinned to this mat, and the question that comes out of my mouth is, okay, God, what does it mean to just be? What does that look like? It means to be with God, to be led by God. So I'm not sure what it is that God is speaking to you and trying to get your attention, but for me, like I said, sometimes I need a good cuff upside the head. And perhaps this morning, this message might serve as a cuff upside the head, but maybe you're that person that you're not, you know, and I'm not endorsing a good slap upside the head. Maybe you just need God to come in very gently and lovingly and all that sort of stuff. But sometimes we really do need a good cuff, right? Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Sometimes we need to have that sort of even a discipline. Now, for all you social, if there's any social workers or anybody that's going to report me or anything like that today, I'm not endorsing like a good slap, okay? But sometimes we ourselves, we need a good cuff upside the head by Christ. And I'm not saying that God causes bad things to happen. I'm not saying that God causes all of these things to happen. But I do believe that God will allow us to go through certain things in order that he get our attention. Like for Kyla and I, we are about to embark on a major endeavor. We have no idea what it looks like. And as we started this, God had to deal with the fear that I had in my heart. Because this step of faith, it came with some fear. And in this journey, I realized that, God, I don't fear what you're asking me to do. I'm not afraid of what you're asking me to do. I believe that with everything that you're asking me to do, you will give me the strength, you'll give me the resources, you'll give me everything that I need. What I was actually afraid of was man. Because it comes down to, it's like, Chad, you're 46 years of age. You're resigning from a position. And the question always comes is like, well, where are you going? I don't know. So where are you going to live? I don't know. So what are you going to do? I don't know. Well, that just doesn't even make sense. I understand. I understand that doesn't make sense. Can any of you agree with me? This just doesn't make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? But am I here to please you? Who do I want to please? So in your life, so you just spoke it out for me, do you believe the same thing for you? Oh, silence. It's always easy to believe it for somebody else, isn't it? I even had a conversation with somebody the other day, and when I was talking about what we're doing, and they said, wow, this is a really bold move. Like, congratulations, good for you for doing this. And I even came back and I said, yeah, I said, but I often wonder when people say that, what's going through their heads? Like, I'm glad God is asking you to do that, not me. Because there's no way I'd be doing that. Right? It's always easy to endorse and applaud somebody else for what they're doing, but it's like, hey, God, yeah, stay away. I'm not getting pinned to that mat. So what is it that you're facing right now and God is simply trying to get your attention? So let's go back into the wrestling ring for just a moment. Do you have those moments where you're in the wrestling ring, you feel like you're getting backed into a corner, and you don't know what to do? There's all of that taunting. There's all of these things going on. You don't know what to do. And what is often the reaction? We want to come out swinging. Don't we? We don't care who's in front of us. We don't care what we're going to hit, but we're just going to come out swinging. Have you ever been in that situation? It's like you're in that corner, and you, like the person is getting closer and closer and closer, and then you come out swinging. Now, taking that, how often does the same thing happen when somebody starts accusing you or saying things to you? What do we often do? We get in defense mode, and we come out swinging, but what do we use this time? We use our words. We use our words, and we come out swinging with our words, and we go into defense mode. And then what happens after the fact? It's like, oh, did I really just go there? Did I say all of those things? Oh, God, why did I say that? I never meant that. But that's what's coming out. These things just start coming out of our mouths. For the past couple of weeks, I've been walking with a couple who is going through a very difficult time in their marriage to the point where they believe that the only alternative right now is for them to separate and divorce. And I keep trying to encourage them and keep praying with them and talking with them. And even in a recent conversation, one of the individuals wanted to start saying stuff. And in mid-sentence, I could tell by the way that the conversation was starting that it wasn't a positive thing. And I stopped. I said, I'm going to ask you to hit pause right there. I need you to hit pause for just a moment. Okay? Think about what is about to come out of your mouth. Think about that for a moment. Because what you're about to say, once those words are out, you can't put them back in. So you tell me that you want the best for your partner, but yet you're about to spew all sorts of negative stuff, things about them, about their character. I want you to hit pause before those words even begin to come out of your mouth. Because once they're out, you can't put them back. Because what happens? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Jesus is talking here about good fruit, or about a good tree bearing good fruit. And he says, if you are full of evil, how can anything good come out of you? For out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So what's going on inside? I like the way that the Message Bible writes this. It says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? And this is the part that I really like. It says, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. It's your heart. What's coming out of your heart? So please hear me on this. For these two individuals that I'm walking with, their hearts were not full of evil. But they are hurting. And what do we know? Hurting people hurt people. So there was some wrestling that was going on inside of them. Words can destroy. Words can hurt. Words can actually kill. I'm not going to ask for your hands, but how many of you at some point in your life, based on the words that were spoken to you, you've possibly had a relationship that was killed, completely destroyed? And sometimes when we look at the Ten Commandments and it says, thou shalt not kill, we often think it's a physical killing. But how many of us have actually killed somebody with the words that have come out of our mouths? Something for you to think about. So as I'm in this wrestling ring, I'm then directed to Hebrews 4:12, and it says that the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Some of us don't want those innermost thoughts and desires to ever come forth, do we? It's like, I just need to keep that hidden away. God's word will point out the things in your life that need to be cut off. Does that sometimes come with some pain? Absolutely. We had one of the apple trees in our yard have one of those nesty type things and all these caterpillars things growing. And I went over to see Dave over at Slegg when he was still there, and I asked him, what do I do? And he gave me this solution. And you have to spray it on this solution to kill this nest. But then my neighbor also told me, you literally have to cut that branch off. You have to cut it off. And we thought that by doing this, our apple tree was going to be ruined for the year, and we wouldn't see anything until next year. Once that was cut off, the fruit that began to grow on that tree was unbelievable. We were able to fill our fridge with apples. We've made applesauce. We had apples coming out of everywhere. But sometimes in order to produce that good fruit, that item needs to be cut away. But sometimes what we want to do is we want to just come in and coddle it and spray something on it and see if we can disinfect it. But it literally needs to be cut away. What is it that God is speaking into your heart this morning and saying you need to cut it off? So when we're backed into a corner, what words are we using when we come out? Are we using the word of God, or are we using our own words? God's word is sharp. It cuts. It exposes. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that God wants you to hear this morning. If we want to know God and hear his voice, where do we get it? Right here. Right here. This is where we go. His word brings life. His word brings healing. Father, I ask that over these next few moments together, that you would continue to illuminate our hearts, that we would hear your voice, that we would silence any sort of a distraction, that we put off any distraction, and we would take the time to listen to your voice and hear what it is that you're speaking to us this morning. This morning you may speak and show us things that we need to literally cut off of our own lives. It's going to hurt, but I pray that we would heed what it is that you're asking us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. A very familiar passage of Scripture for anybody who is a follower of Christ. Romans 10, 8 to 10, it's on the screen and it says this. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 1 week or for 50 years, this reminder is applicable to every single person in this place. We need this to be effective disciples. So take note of what it says. It doesn't say confess with your mouth or believe in your heart. It is one and the other. It is having both of these things. Not that long ago, I had an opportunity to spend the day with my cousin. And he was sharing with me some of the things that were going on in his own life. And he's not a follower of Christ. And as I sat there and listening to what's going on in his life, I kind of seized an opportunity and I said, you know, I really believe that you just kind of got to take a step of faith. Because he was sharing with me how, well, this door over here closed and I see that this one here is being opened. I said, you just simply need to take a step of faith. And I understand that this kind of goes against a lot of times what we believe. Because in our lives, sometimes we think, okay, God, I'll take the step of faith. But you got to get this duck and this duck and this duck and this duck all lined up, and then I'll take the step of faith, right? We want to see everything outlined perfectly. Then I'll take a step of faith. Is that a step of faith? If you can see everything clearly before you take the step, is that a step of faith? Exactly. So I went on to explain and talk to him about this and how everything for him was being lined up, but he still couldn't see exactly what was going on. But he's not a follower of Christ. So I encouraged him, take the step of faith and go in the direction that you believe you're being led. Now, some people might think, well, why didn't you start preaching to him right there? Why didn't you get him confessing and believing right there at the table? I didn't have that kind of a relationship yet. I was still serving him. I was still coming alongside of him, getting to know him. I had to earn that right to be able to speak into his life. And that comes through serving. But I believe that through that, seeds were being planted. I wasn't preaching, but I was letting him know how much I cared about him. And what have I shared with you? And you've heard it before. People don't care how much you know. You don't remember that? Until they know how much you care. Sometimes we want to go in and just tell them all of the things that they should be doing. So let me ask you that. When somebody comes in and just tries to tell you everything that you should be doing, how much heed do you give to that person? So why do you think it's going to be any different when you're doing it? Right? Until they know how much you care, they want to know that you care about them. This is why when you find Jesus in Scripture, where was he? Who was he hanging out with?
Sinners.
Exactly. He was hanging out with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners. Where should we be? Huddled up in our Christian corner, just talking about everything that's Christian, Christian, Christian? We are called to go into the world. Does that mean we have to be of the world? We live in this world. And as I said last week, the kids are going to be out trick-or-treating, whether we want them to or not. It doesn't mean that you're supporting and endorsing Halloween, but it's an opportunity for us to love these little children, to come alongside of them. Where is Jesus calling you to go? To leave from here and to go back into your house and do everything Christian? Or is he saying, I want you to go into the world? There are people who need to hear your story. There are people who need to see and understand what it is that I have brought you through. It's not just for you. We will overcome by... How do we overcome? the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your testimony. So the step of faith that God is asking you to take, it's not big. How big is this faith that he says? As small as the grain of a mustard seed. Look at the story of Peter in Matthew 15, when Peter's instructed to get out of the boat, when Peter decides to get out of the boat. You know, so often when he's walking along the water and Jesus says to him, "Oh, you of little faith." We look at that as such a negative thing. Oh, Peter, you should have had more faith than that. Is that the way that Jesus looked at him? Peter, you took that small portion of faith that was as small as a mustard seed, and you got out of the boat and you started to walk. You of little faith, look at what I'm going to do. Take the step of faith. Sometimes we need to have everything outlined before we take this massive, giant step of faith. But our faith isn't supposed to be that big. Jesus says as small as a mustard seed. And what does happen to that mustard seed as it continues to grow? The faith grows. And it grows. And it grows. But the thing is that when we take that step of faith, we need to keep our eyes fixated on Christ. Because as Peter is walking on the water, he's taking that step of faith. What happens is that a wave comes and he loses sight of Jesus and he gets scared. So that's the reminder for us, is that as we take our step of faith, we have to ensure that our eyes are always kept on Christ. Because too often we take the step of faith and we think, I've got this. I'm good. And then it's like, okay, God, I'll come and get you when I need you. But we need God for every single step of faith that we take. So coming back to Romans 10, there's the confessing and there's the believing. I can walk around all day confessing that Jesus is Lord. I can say that till I'm blue in the face. Is that going to get me anywhere? No. It's not going to get me anywhere. James 2:19 says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. It won't do anything for me if I don't believe that he is Lord. And he says, it won't do anything for me if I don't believe that he is Lord, and if I don't believe that God raised him from the dead. Scripture is clear. I need to confess and believe. We need both of those things to be saved. It's not one without the other. Confessing is only half of it. Confessing something without believing it, you're only lying. You continue to walk in darkness. Eventually, what's going to happen is the heart, the mouth is going to bring it forth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So continuing on in this conversation that I'm having with God, God is reminding me to just be. I'm reminded to not have fear. I'm reminded and spoken to about what's going on in my heart. I'm reminded that I must confess and believe. I'm reminded that the word is alive and active. So after he brings me to Romans, he now directs me over to John, 1 John 1, 6-7, and says this, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The rubber hits the road when we start working and walking out our salvation. Well, I don't get it. I thought I was saved. We need to confess and believe. There was a movement that swept across our nation, and maybe some of you, I may challenge some of you this morning, that's okay. There was a movement that took place, the whole name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. There were individuals who were going around and saying, I've been healed of diabetes, and they stopped taking their insulin without getting the confirmation. Some people were saying, my eyesight's been healed, and they take off their glasses and they throw them away, and then they're walking around and they can't, but I've been healed. I've been healed. If that worked, trust me, there'd be a nice little 2019 blue convertible Mini Cooper in my driveway. If name it and claim it worked, because I've been claiming it for a long time. And yes, I could have it, but how am I going to get it? The only way that I'm going to get that is if I go down to BMW and I go and I purchase it. That's the way that I'll claim my little Mini Cooper. Because I really don't believe that in the scheme of things, with everything that God is calling me to do, that His great desire for my heart is for me to have this little Mini Cooper. I really don't believe that. He's got greater things that He wants to do. Now, I could go and purchase it myself, and then my prayer might change and say, oh, God, please make sure I have the finances to make the payment each month. But the key thing is, we don't claim what God doesn't name. Right? We don't claim what God doesn't name. Claiming it and believing it means walking in it, confessing and believing. So you can walk around saying, I believe in God, or Jesus is Lord. Are you believing it? So now we come to the question that got me to this place. And you might be thinking, finally, oh my goodness, like he's got like 5 minutes left and we still got to finish up this sermon. That's okay. What does it mean to be led by God? That was the question that started this whole conversation, this whole wrestling ring match. God, what does it mean for me to be led by you? And you might even be thinking, wow, it's a little late in the game to be asking that question, Chad. You've already submitted your resignation. This is your last Sunday here, and you're just asking that question now? But the question isn't just for today. This is for all eternity. And it's a question that I want to put forth to you. How do we know that we're being led by God? 10 things. 10 things. Number one, 100% surrender. God wants all of us, not just a portion, all of us. Number two, pleasing God. Romans 8:8 says that those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The more you die, the less you get hurt. So if you're still hurting, then you haven't died. We need to die spiritually to come alive in the Spirit. Do you believe that? Number three, hearing His voice. It's amazing how much God wants to say to us. God is always speaking to us. But how many of us are so distracted by our phones? You know, we'll go and say, okay, God, I'm going to spend this next little while with you. And then all of a sudden we hear the phone ring or the sonar ping or something like that goes off on our phones. Like, oh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Oh, okay. Okay, God, I'm back with you now. Ping. Oh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? We're kind of like a dog when the doorbell rings, right? Oh, 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 who is it? Put your phone on Do Not Disturb and spend some quality time with God. He wants to speak to you. Hear His voice. Number four, talking to Him. What is talking to God? What are you doing when you're talking with Him? You're praying, right? God wants to spend time with you. So, my question to you when you come to me and say, well, Chad, can you pray for me? Sure, I can absolutely pray for you, but my first question is this. Are you praying yourself? Why would you want me to do something? You're the one who hears God's voice. You're the one that God is speaking to. So you want me to pray for you? I'll pray with you, but it's important, and it's you need to pray for yourself as well. You need to talk to God. God is going to speak directly to you. Number five, walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean, sometimes we look at this and people think that I need to be afraid of God. No, it's not about being afraid of God. It's about being at that place where afraid of actually being outside of God's presence. Fearing the Lord means that I don't want to go anywhere if God's presence is not with me. Number six, fully devoted to Him. Fully devoted to Him. Yes, we will take our lives and we'll do things and we'll mess it up. You know, we got this puzzle and we mess it all up. And sometimes what happens is we come back to God with our puzzles and it's like, God, I messed it up. Can you please put me back together? And then God puts all of the pieces back together. And then we come back again. Oh, God, I messed up again. Can you put me back together? And how many times will God do this for us? He'll keep doing it. He'll keep doing it. He'll keep doing it. In those times of depression or sickness or whatever it is that's going on in your lives, remember, God hasn't abandoned you. God is still with you. There's times where we'll go off and do our own thing, but God has never left us. God has never forsaken us. We need to come back to Him. Number seven, allowing the Spirit to dwell in you. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." Number eight, crucifying the flesh. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross. Number nine, setting your minds on the things of the Spirit. What gets your attention? And finally, number 10, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Good trees bear good fruit. Worm-infested trees bear bad fruit. Galatians 5:19-23 says this, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature." Now think about this for a moment. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, and this is what actually happens. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. When we follow the desires of our sinful nature, these are the things that will happen. And Paul says, "Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." They will not. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So this is what it means to be led by God, walking in His footsteps. Wow, that's a lot, Chad. Yeah, it is. But God instructs us that we are to daily work out our salvation. As we walk with God, we are led by Him, and we will strive to be all that He's calling us to do. This is not a sentence to a boring life. This is us being given the keys to freedom. I can assure you 100% that in all of my years as a pastor, I have never, ever, ever had somebody come in, sit down in my chair in my office and say, "Oh, Chad, oh, I'm just feeling the weight of the freedom of Christ. Oh, the freedom of Christ is just way too much." Nobody has ever said that to me. But I can tell you that they have walked in and said, "Chad, I'm bound by the sinful nature. All of these things are weighing me down." We have everything that we need in Christ to overcome the forces of evil. But we don't get it by doing nothing. How do we get it? By walking in the authority of Christ, knowing whose you are. Where is your identity? Do we identify with the sinful nature, or do we identify ourselves with the one who came and set us free? You want to be addicted to something? Fine, that's your problem. But I'm sorry, that's your choice. Don't keep sniveling about something that you don't have. Start confessing and believing in your heart that what God is doing, He is doing. Don't sit there and elbow your spouse and say, "Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this?" Take your own fingers and dig them into your own ribs and say, "Am I hearing this? Am I hearing this this morning?" So let's conclude this conversation. After 1 John, I'm going to ask Joel if he could come this morning and the worship team. After 1 John, I was led to James. James 1 says, "You confess and you believe." You're being led by God. You're walking in the light. So what is next? James 1:21 says this: "Get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." I love that part, which can save you. Can you do that this morning? Are you able to do that? Are you ready to do that? Confess and believe. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves." There are people that come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they are on their way to hell because they don't confess and believe. They might come, and they might come to me after and say, "Oh, that was a good word." What are you doing with it? Are you confessing and believing? Sitting in a pew doesn't get you into heaven. Confess and believe. What is it that God has been speaking into your heart about? What is it that He's asking you to get rid of? What is it? You're in that wrestling ring and you're going around in circles. It's time for you to get pinned to the mat. Don't be afraid of what man will say, but embrace what God wants you to say. I'm going to close in prayer. Joel is going to lead us in that song, once again, the Creed. And this morning, my hope and my prayer is that as you sing this song, you are able to truly confess it and believe it with your heart. Father, I thank you for what you have been doing. I thank you for what you have been speaking. And I pray for each individual that you've spoken into their heart this morning, that they would confess it and that they would believe it. And they would walk in the freedom of Christ. They would no longer walk bound up by the sinful nature, but they would walk knowing what it is and who it is that they have been called to be. Our identity is in you. Our hope is in you. Everything that we need is in you. We give you praise, glory, honor, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.